Welcome to another episode of the WIPO Arbitration and Mediation Matters podcast. Today we're looking at three areas that are increasingly connected: artificial intelligence, intellectual property, and alternative dispute resolution. Our guest is Andres Izquierdo, who works at the intersection of law, technology, and innovation. Andres advises governments, international organizations, and tech companies on the legal frameworks around AI, creativity, and digital platforms. He founded his own specialized firm and served as counsel to the Program on Information Justice and Intellectual Property at American University and the Geneva Graduate Institute. His work includes participating in WIPO treaty negotiations, advising on national copyright reforms, and developing international AI policies with a particular focus on Latin America, Europe, and the United States. He's published work with Oxford Law and Wolters Kluwer, and has been recognized by Best Lawyers and Chambers and Partners for his intellectual property practice. Today, we'll discuss how dispute resolution can help solve those disputes that are related to AI and intellectual property, and what that means for creators, innovators, and the broader legal landscape. I'm Oscar Suarez, and you can contact us at arbiter.mail@wipo.int. Welcome. Andres, welcome to the show. It is always a pleasure to talk to you. For starters, why don't you tell us what drove you to become an IP practitioner?
Thank you, Oscar. My journey with IP started because of my deep appreciation about art and all the creative process, and also how these matched the legal structures to sustain IP. So IP for me has been always about protecting innovation and rewarding creators, creating a space for users to use the works. My first job was working with the music industry in Colombia, and specifically with the music sector. After that, I went over and jumped into Sony Music, and I was the legal director for Sony Music. And that gave me even more a first-hand exposure on how copyright functions in practice. Later in time, I started my law firm practice, and then I also engaged even more in IP policymaking with American University and the Geneva Center of Knowledge. And one of the first things that I did was reviewing the copyright chapter of the free trade agreement between the US and Colombia. And it was very interesting because it was all the DMC, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and the copyright laws of the US, how they were going to be implemented in the Colombian legislation. But I've been always very, very interested in how emerging technologies, especially artificial intelligence, interacts with these traditional doctrines or these traditional laws that have been created, like, for example, the Berne Agreement that has it's more than 100 years old agreement. And that intersection is where how law can adapt in a thoughtful way, so it can allow the creation, the innovation, the field of IP to continue exist while also the technology advances.
I would have a follow-up question to that, and it's, at what point did you realize that the technology was going to reshape the creative industries the way that is doing it right now?
Wow. Yes. It's such an interesting question, because for a long time, a very, very long time, artificial intelligence was just like something of the outer space. There had been a lot of experiments, and really there was this article that I wrote some years ago about the history of AI and how it began to work and then related to copyright. And it really started in the 1950s, AI, but all these 1950s up to 2020, it was just a lot of promises of moving forward, a lot of promises and a lot of failed attempts. Then it began slowly to unfold. And then in 2022, with all these text and data mining things that were happening, and then in 2023, when ChatGPT started, it was like, okay, this is now here, and it's now changing the world.
What would you say are the main disputes that are happening in the context of AI and IP?
So there's basically four core issues that you find in these disputes between AI and IP. One of them, and we're focusing mainly right now in copyright, is the use of copyright works for training. So this is super, super important because when you see the cases, the main cases of, for example, industries, copyright holders against different AI platforms like OpenAI or Anthropic, most of the things, most of the claims are related to the right holders challenging the assumption that technology companies can freely ingest copyright content to train generative AI systems without authorization or compensation. Most of the cases in the US and also, I mean, in Europe and Canada, I mean, they are also Brazil, there's another one. They are mainly based on this part. Like, why are you using all my content without paying me a compensation for using my content? So, I mean, it's a claim that is all around. The second one is related, and it's very, very interesting because when these right holders are suing, the main argument that the AI platforms are using as a defense is fair use and exceptions, right? And exceptions and limitations to the copyright law, which is one of the parts because the copyright system is built in a way that there's rights for the right holders and there's also exceptions and limitations so people can use this content without paying. So there had been a lot of discussion about this, and there's a couple of cases that happened 5 years ago in the US where fair use was the main tool of defense, and actually it gave the way to Google in one of those cases to use all of the books to be able to create the platform that you see when you search books in Google. You'll find that platform to use it. So it's very important in this moment make a difference between the inputs and the outputs, because the inputs is what the information that you use that is sometimes is copyright protected, and that's the litigation. But there's also on the other side is what comes out of that training. What is the result of that? And that those are the outputs. So that is when the derivative works, and all these claims about you are using my content to compete in my market, and you're taking clients away from me. And that's one, for example, one of the main arguments of the case of New York Times against Microsoft and OpenAI, that is saying you are using my content, and then you are using to produce something that is very similar to what the New York Times produces. A fourth point that is very important about the main disputes that we are seeing, and is the different deals that are being made, the different licensing and compensation models that are being found. So many disputes are no, I mean, many, many, I mean, not, I'm not saying that it's a huge amount, but a very important, a significant number of disputes have moved from litigation into negotiation. And that is very important because this is when mediation comes along and helps. Even if the lawyers decide to sit down and just talk and try to solve the problem before it gets to a court, or even if it's in court, and so they can bring the case out of court, as it happened with Anthropic. This is something that is creating new licensing frameworks and is creating new type of legal contracts. And there's this recent case, and we can discuss this a little bit more in detail, that where Disney and OpenAI, it's a high profile example of this trend of contracts that have been of a negotiation that is happening out of court that is being solved with new creative ways.
You rightly point out that maybe this is not the most common way of solving these disputes, and maybe that's not the biggest amount of disputes that we're seeing, but it is true that the amounts that are in dispute are quite substantial and quite important in general for what will be a result afterwards. So we're thinking about the authors, creators, interpreters, et cetera, producers, et cetera. In the end, what we're seeing here is the possibility, which mediation, for example, brings an alternative dispute resolution, of having creative solutions that are going to help unlock in a faster way in a more flexible way, in a more business-oriented way, these disputes. Let's thread into that. We can look a little bit closer to this case on Disney and OpenAI to see how this can help unlock the value that is trapped when parties are facing this type of conflicts and they're facing this potential litigation.
Yes, absolutely, Oscar. I mean, this is something that this deal is very recent. The deal between Disney and OpenAI was made public on December of last year. I'm sure it took them a long time to be able to get to this final point of settlement, where they made and this very significant deal. Because I mean, you know, if you see, there's at least 70 lawsuits that are worldwide that are being right now between AI copyright holders against AI. So this recent deal between Disney and OpenAI, it could signal a turning point on this litigation. And because rather than fighting courts, Disney decided to license over 200 of its most valuable characters to OpenAI Sora, the Sora platform, in exchange for equity. That's in exchange for shares on the company, on OpenAI, transforming this litigation, this possible litigation, into a possible strategic alliance. So it was very interesting, because instead of going to courts and fighting each other, Disney and OpenAI said, hey, let's be kind of partners. And if you grow, I grow. At the core of the agreement, there's like four very important points. There's a 3-year licensing agreement allowing Sora, OpenAI, the app of Sora, to include more than 200 characters from Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars in user-generated videos and images. The big second topic is like an integration of selected fan-generated AI content into Disney+, making a rare crossover from AI-created works into a mainstream entertainment platform. The other part that is super significant is $1 billion equity investment plus stock warrants, allowing Disney to increase its stake if OpenAI valuation grows, signaling a financial agreement between creative IP holders and AI platforms. And the last one is an internal development of OpenAI tools across Disney operations, expanding content workflows and product development and audience engagement in initiatives. So this means that also Disney is going to use OpenAI to create more of their works. So you see the deal. In the deal, they said, okay, I'll give you all this money and shares. I will use your tool. Disney says, I will use your tool to create new characters, and you, OpenAI, can also use my characters to develop more content with your tool.
That is a solution that rarely could have come from, let's say, court litigation.
I mean, that was a very creative solution from both parties to try to sit down and try to create a new possible model. I'm not saying this is the main, this is going to be the main trend, because this is a unique, so far it's a unique deal. And the other deals that are being normally done are licenses, right? So the normal things that are happening right now is, for example, Getty Images tells an AI platform, I'm going to let you use my images, but you have to pay me a license or royalties for all the use of every photograph. And that's what is happening right now, the traditional model of licensing. That's what is happening more. But this one was a different one, because it was like, okay, I want a piece of the cake. I want a piece of that is growing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure. When we talk about ADR, especially, let's say, mediation in this case, we always highlight that IP benefits a lot from the fact that it tends to be confidential. Of course, in this case, we don't have confidentiality because of other reasons, the strategy behind it, the relevance of the transaction. But there are many other setups where confidentiality is a very important benefit of using ADR. Do you think this is true in the AI industry? What is your view on this, or is it just a feeling that I have?
No, absolutely, Oscar. I mean, this is and this is very this is a really good question because you're gonna be a little bit surprised with what I'm gonna tell you. But the first time I learned about this deal between Disney and OpenAI was in the Bloomberg finance platform. So radio, Bloomberg Radio. I mean, where they talk about stocks and they talk about the markets and the moves and what's happening with the S&P 500 and what's happening with oil and with gold. But not all companies are in the stock market, and not all companies have this big, huge, importance and relevance in the stock market. And this case, of course, I mean, a deal between AI and copyright immediately raises the shares, and that's what it did. Immediately raised the value of the shares. But normally, what will happen is that these deals are not that public, as you said it, as you said it. This was something that was in the moment, and it was part of a strategy, I'm sure, to be able to make it public. But normally, it's a what mediation offers is it's a very one of the things it offers the confidentiality between the parties, right? That they agree, and at the end of the deal, they will have basically a non-disclosure agreement to not talk about this, what the deal was made and how was it made. But it's true what you're saying. Normally, it would be more like a private matter that would not be released in the public unless both parties want to release it to the public, as it happened. I'm sure that's this is what happened. But also the other thing of the that is super important of these alternative dispute resolution methods as mediation is the expertise and speed, because I mean the speed that you can make a deal like this, it would be a lot faster than a litigation, because a litigation right now, for example, the litigation of New York Times against Microsoft was filed 2 years ago, and there's still it's still being discussed, and still there's no and the other case many of the other cases came in 2025. They're still in court, and maybe it's going to take 1, 2 years maybe to be solved, maybe a little bit longer, compared to deals that are being struck on the side between the right holders and AI companies, where they are like, hey, let's sit down and make it. So this is something very important, because the speed of mediation and the expertise, because there's lawyers involved that know about the topic, and they will be all, I mean, they are all expert in the topic, because this is, I mean, imagine the lawyers of OpenAI or the lawyers of Disney. Of course, they are experts on this topic making a deal. So that's also the other thing. The other thing is that the solutions, and it's super important because the solutions are tailored. When I say tailored, I say you can make the solution however you want it and however both parties feel comfortable, right? And that's so you don't have to wait for the judgment of a judge, right, to tell you how you have to comply with your rights and how much you have to pay. But in this case, you can sit down and say, hey, let's make a deal, and let's make any deal that is going to work for us. Like we saw in Disney OpenAI, that was a very creative one and different from the other ones that have been done. And also, the other thing is that a mediation. It creates these collaborative frameworks where there's like this, it's a cooperative solving problem way of working. So this is a way of engaging parties in a way that's gonna be collaborate to help each other to find a solution. So those are things that which also doesn't happen directly with litigation, because litigation is one against the other, and let's see who is right. Let's see who is right.
Andres, thank you for that, and thank you for your time today. It's been absolutely interesting to listen to your perspective on what's happening and how to use ADR to solve these kind of disputes. Before we end, we like to give some advice to new or aspiring practitioners. What would you say to them? And let's put it in the realm of AI if you want.
Absolutely, of course. No, definitely. Yeah, it's true. When I went to law school, we barely had computers, so
Okay.
that's
Yeah, that was
we
some
had I
time
think we
ago
had
then.
one computer that we had to take turns to be able to use it. So yes, it's been so we had to study the laws and from the have very strong foundation on the laws. And that's why my one thing that I would definitely recommend young practitioners is to build a strong foundation in the laws that exist already. Master the core copyright principles, because they still remain a bedrock of any of the copyright system. And as it happened with the treaties in 1995, the copyright treaties of the internet copyright treaties, at that time, those treaties were trying to solve a problem, the internet, when internet was coming, and when internet arrived, and there was all this illegal downloading, but the principles remained. And right now we're having all this AI, but still the principles are still there. I mean, the copyright principles there. So I would recommend, first of all, to understand very well the IP law and the copyright law principles that build the whole system. The other thing that you need to do is to understand tech. I mean, I've engaged sometimes with lawyers that they have told me that they don't even know what is ChatGPT. And really, I mean, that is a little bit hard to understand, because this technology is everywhere, and you need to understand it, and you need to find a way to use it on the benefit of your work, of your practice, and of course, in a way that is going to be respecting, in the case of practitioners of law, in a way that respects the privacy of the clients, but also in a way that engages the work of the clients to improve it and to make it better. So definitely understand tech. You don't have to be a developer, but you definitely have to understand how these technical things work. The other thing is to engage globally, because contrary to what I was raised in a culture where IP was only local at that time in the early 2000, where IP, we just needed to know about the Colombian IP, because I started my practice in Colombia, and then I went into the US. But we only needed to know about locally. But now it's a cross-border situation. When we talk about mediation is surely going to happen. There's too many cases that are cross-border issues, between a person that used the content in Finland and the creator was in Argentina, or a person that created the tech in California and the right holder is in Spain, or it's in Cambodia. I mean, it's all over the world. So and AI is breaking all the borders, and is now, and there's too many international dialogues happening. For example, all the forums that WIPO create that WIPO brings over, and all these multilateral institutions that are working on this, that definitely makes you much more of a richer of a more prepared practitioner to work across jurisdictions. The other thing that you definitely need to do is develop negotiation skills. That is super important, because that comes to all the mediation that we were speaking about. And also in court, even if you file a lawsuit in court, there's going to be a point where the judge is going to ask you, try to reach an agreement, right? Try to make a deal. Try to make a deal. For example, in the case of Anthropic in the US, they made a deal. And for example, in Colombia, they request you to have a mediation before filing the lawsuit, right? And some countries do it the same. So definitely negotiation skills like creative contracting or licensing, even though that you need to be prepared for litigation. And those are definitely like main things. But I think the most important one is that you like what you're doing, and that you have find that connection of the work that you do. If you love art, if you love fashion, if you love technology, if you love science, IP is a great way of definitely having a practice, a legal practice.
Andres, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure to have you with us.
No, thank you very much, Oscar, for the invitation, and congratulations on the fan of the great work that you do with the Mediation Center, Arbitration Center. I've seen you've been doing many more things worldwide, and it definitely has continued growing. It's a great work.